Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. This we'll call the breaking news edition of the John Solomon Reports podcast, because just a few minutes ago, yes, yours truly got the first word that Michael Flynn had been pardoned by President Trump. We broke that story about 20 minutes ahead of the rest of the news organizations around the country. We're grateful that we were able to report that out. This is a big moment. And for people who have been on the defense of Michael Flynn, it's a remarkable turnaround. This is a four-year odyssey, a criminal case that began in the summer of 16, led to a plea deal where Mike Flynn was asked and agreed to plead guilty to lying to the FBI, only to find out later that the FBI really hadn't thought he lied, and that the Justice Department did not believe, after reviewing the evidence, the Barr Justice Department, that anything was warranted in terms of pursuing the case in the beginning. And then it goes to a judge, and it's a rare moment in American history where prosecutors and the defense go together and say, we think this case should be dismissed, Your Honor. That judge was Emmett Sullivan, U.S. District Judge here in the Washington area. And then the judge decides he doesn't want to do it. He wants to have a hearing. And when they object, the judge goes to the appeals court himself. He becomes the appellant, the person appealing the case, saying, I want the right to hold hearings and not just summarily dismiss this case. And then out of the blue, this eve of Thanksgiving 2020, at the end of a very tumultuous year, President Trump announced that he had indeed issued a pardon, expunging the record, restoring Mike Flynn's credibility and name in the public. It happened about, I would say, about 4 o'clock, 4:15. So just recently, a few minutes ago, we were up front with it. We'll be covering it all through the night. And in a few minutes, we're going to go to my colleague and good friend, Daniel Payne. While the Mike Flynn drama was playing out here in Washington, over in Pennsylvania, two big things happened. A judge issued a stunning ruling ordering Pennsylvania state officials not to certify their election results. And then shortly after that, Pennsylvania legislators, state legislators, held a hearing, and had Rudy Giuliani testify, and went through significant evidence, reviewed significant evidence. There appears to have been some eyes opened and candid discussion about why Pennsylvania residents were so concerned. And that all occurred in Pennsylvania. And the reporter who's been covering that today, my colleague Daniel Payne, you read him every day in Just the News. He's going to join us in just a minute and bring us up to speed on that. First, though, let's go to our great advertisers and sponsors and hear a word from them. And when we come back, we'll get all the scoops from none other than Daniel Payne. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. We're clear of the breaking news and Mike Flynn, who is just pardoned by the President of the United States. And now we're going to turn to the other big news today, election integrity and some big developments in the state of Pennsylvania. And to bring us up to speed, we've got one of our best reporters here from Just the News joining us, Daniel Payne. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, John, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've had a busy day before Thanksgiving, and it didn't involve cooking turkey or shopping for yams, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've been working up an appetite.
Yeah, I bet you have. Yeah, so let's get readers up to speed. Let's start with the judge. There's a Commonwealth Court judge's ruling in Pennsylvania. Let's tell our readers why that's our listeners and readers why that's significant.
Yeah, so what happened in Pennsylvania was that a judge ordered state officials there to hold off on certifying the results of the 2020 election until some election-related litigation could be resolved. The suit that's being considered in that state is arguing that the vote-by-mail system put into place by the government this year is in violation of the state's constitution. So while that litigation is working its way through the courts, this judge just asked the state, or rather ordered the state, to hold off until those questions could be resolved. So it was certainly a big development in this critical battleground state with the larger allies swirling around there.
Yeah, it really is. And it's the first ruling where any judge has intervened to stop a certification in any of the states that we've been talking about. Has there been any reaction in the state? Have you heard anything from folks around town? Obviously, the Trump campaign appears to be satisfied with the ruling, but it actually affects races up and down the ticket in Pennsylvania, correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty far reaching order. And I think right now everybody's just kind of scrambling to try and get their ducks into a row to get this thing resolved. I mean, certainly every party has every interest in, up and down the ticket of seeing this litigation resolved as quickly as possible to get the results certified one way or the other. So it's, certainly making for a busy Thanksgiving week there. right now they have yet to move forward.
Yeah, that it is. It's an amazing, it's been an amazing time. Now, that judge's ruling occurred just a couple of hours before the president's private attorney, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City, got on the witness stand at a Pennsylvania legislative hearing. Tell us what went down there today. What did you hear? What were the headlines? What was different from what Rudy has been saying on television? And what were lawmakers' reactions and receptiveness to the arguments he was making?
Yeah, so what happened today in Pennsylvania was the State Senate Majority Policy Committee convened a hearing to review numerous allegations of voting irregularities in the state. Republican State Senator Doug Mastriano, he said that he convened the meeting that was called after he had heard pretty consistent and sustained complaints from constituents and Pennsylvania citizens that there had been, as he said, experience at the polls, with the mail-in voting system, and concerns whether the Pennsylvania residents' votes were counted. Like you said, at that hearing today, President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, made an appearance, as well as Trump legal team lawyer, Jenna Ellis. And they both made arguments accompanied by numerous witnesses to alleged voting irregularities that the state legislature should also hold off on certifying the election results. Jenna Ellis made a pretty interesting claim, an argument there near the end, that the legislature actually has the authority under the U.S. Constitution to hold off on certifying those results. She said that they do not have to wait for a judicial solution, that they themselves could do it. So they made a pretty pretty strong case for for considering a hold on the results until all of these claims of irregularities can be resolved.
It is remarkable that 3 weeks in, 3 weeks and a day after the actual election day, this much activity is still burbling in key states like Pennsylvania. We got it in Michigan. There are things going on in Georgia. When you watched the hearing, were there a lot of lawmakers at the hearing? I couldn't tell from the shot I had if there were other many lawmakers here, but any sense of how the lawmakers responded to the Trump team's arguments?
The Republican lawmakers in attendance there all seemed pretty concerned about the allegations. Now there were allegations from voters, from poll watchers, from lawyers, and they were all pretty consistent in their claims that some irregularities had occurred, stuff definitely worth investigating. And the sense that I got watching it, and I was tuned in for the whole roughly 3 hours of it,
right,
was that there is a shared concern among at least Republican lawmakers that were there, that these issues have to be resolved. And one thing that you heard numerous times from individuals at the hearings, it's not really necessarily about who wins or loses. Obviously, everybody has a certain candidate they want to win or lose. But overall, what you're hearing time and again in various battleground states is people saying over and over, it's not about who wins or loses. It's not about my guy winning or losing. It's about certifying the fair results of an election, ensuring that there is election integrity and that every vote is counted and illegal votes are not counted. So that was also the sense you got today, that it felt less partisan than one might have expected, and more just an interest of getting the truth out about what exactly happened in 2020.
Yeah, and that's the sense I walked away, that the lawmakers that were digging into this saw this as bigger than Trump v. Biden, right? That this was ultimately about a debate about, are American elections going to be conducted in a way where the American people will still trust the results when we're done? And on that note, you do our daily poll for us. You do such a great job, you and Scott Rasmussen. I thought we had a really fascinating poll yesterday that showed Americans want, and let me see if I get this right, they want all votes to be counted, collected and received and counted on Election Day. They don't want election observers being ejected. They want, what were the other things that were in the poll that we found in the reforms?
They want that, votes are
counted the day of,
and count on election night, that right. Government agencies should be required to clean voter registration
files. That's it, the voter files.
Right, exactly, yeah. And that ballots must be received by election day and no later. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and those were very strong majorities that supported all of those measures. And
somewhere between 70% on the low end to 88% on some. I think 88% wanted the voter rolls cleaned.
Right, right. And I think what that shows is that these are issues that probably a ton of voters haven't thought about prior to this election.
Yeah.
That voting for it's understandable in a sense that this is the case for a lot of people, that voting is kind of a one day affair where people go and they cast their ballots and they think they're going to be fairly counted and they don't think there's any legal activity going on. But when you have the sort of sustained appearance of irregularity and matters of concern that we've seen arise over the past 3 weeks, People respond to that, and I think that's what you're seeing in the results from the polls, that voters seem to have taken a new interest in election integrity following the elections earlier this month.
Yeah, that's clearly that's really clear in what we're seeing, and not just in the readers and listeners who send us emails or tweet at us or talk at us. There is a much larger debate, and I think people saw in this election things that they had never contemplated occurring in an American election before. Bipartisan observers saying they couldn't observe or being kept so far away that observation was impossible. Ballots being counted 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days after election. Ballots being discovered belatedly, like it happened in Georgia. And then, of course, this idea that you go to bed thinking Donald Trump won and you wake up the next morning hearing maybe Joe Biden won. It's clear that they're not only rejecting what happened, some of the tactics and some of the experiences that happened here, they're really thinking ahead to the next election. And I think that's these hearings that we saw in Pennsylvania, I guess there are going to be other ones in Michigan, and I guess Arizona seems more in doubt today than it did yesterday. But there is a big debate. Where do you think the debate goes next? I mean, we've got the court system, we got the legislatures. Have you seen any engagement in Congress yet where Congress maybe says we want to take a look at some of the integrity issues that occurred here?
You know, most of the activity seems to be concentrated largely in the state, at the state level at this point,
right.
Because really it's still being played out at the state level.
Right.
You're still having to adjudicate and certify and dispute these results. I absolutely think that it will eventually work its way to Congress. This doesn't seem to be the sort of thing that simply goes away even after the election results are certified.
Great point.
There are very clear indications that people want answers, that they're interested in seeing these matters resolved, and almost certainly that they very much do not want to see them arise in the next election. So you're probably going to see sustained calls for reforms over the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, presumably until a lot of this stuff is answered.
You know, I'm old enough to remember and actually played a big part in the Florida recount. I helped supervise and was involved in the AP's recount effort with the other news media players, New York Times and others, back in 2000. And for 6 years after that, there was a continued debate about what are we going to learn from the Florida election. I think it was 2005 finally when the bipartisan government commission came out with its recommendations. So that 5 to 6 year window that you just mentioned that might follow this election is very similar to what we saw in the aftermath of the Florida election. People care about this and they want to kick around ideas and they want to make it better. And, you know, you look of all the states that were under the spotlight and could have been in strife, Florida was the one that had the easiest way. They were wrapped up by midnight. It was clear what happened. So Florida clearly was able to benefit and create a system that in 2020 worked fine. But some of these other states now have been exposed for the sort of problems that, you know, they were discussing at the hearing. When you look out at the evidence, was there anything today that Rudy Giuliani or Jenner Ellis or the lawmakers, state legislators presented that caught you off guard? Data changes, number changes, anything that, you know, beyond the election integrity work we've been doing here at Just the News, you said, boy, that was new. I hadn't seen that before. Anything that jumped out at you?
Well, no, and honestly, I think that's the most surprising thing is that there really wasn't anything that jumped out at me because these irregularities that have been alleged have been so consistent across the battleground states in particular. You know, we've seen this in we've seen allegations of this in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Georgia, that the same issues and the same potential vulnerabilities in the system seem to be cropping up in each state. So, you know, when they made some stunning claims in this hearing, the witnesses said, you know, they were prevented from counting ballots, that there seemed to be potential intimidation at some voting sites, that there were strange, apparent possible vote switches involving the technology. But, you know, we've been covering that very thoroughly at Just the News for you know, the past 3 weeks and one day, as you put it. So what is kind of striking is not that there was necessarily anything novel presented today, but that it all feels kind of a piece of so much of what we've seen elsewhere. So that's going to be something to watch, how all of these fairly similar claims play out in each state.
Such a great point. And really, at the end of the day, the consistency, right? In the states where there are questions, you see, let's kind of go through just a few of the ones that we see. Election observers were repeatedly being told they couldn't go or were tricked into leaving or kept so far away or windows were boarded up. We have these questions of pristine ballots that should have been folded in three and put in a mail envelope to meet the law that appeared to have been counted or audited as though they were pristine and unfolded, right? That's one that we've come up with. There are, in Wisconsin, there's a pending case and they never did purge the voter rolls as prepared. And so we don't know how many of those people that were on the purge voter list may have cast a ballot. And then in Pennsylvania, now we've heard it in other places, Georgia, elsewhere, we keep hearing of people who, if they're a Republican, they say they requested an absentee ballot and their vote has not yet been counted, right? That's one that you've heard a lot of. And I think you interviewed some real people like that, right? Didn't you, in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to a number of folks in Pennsylvania who said that their vote hadn't been tabulated by the state yet, who said that they received a mail-in ballot when they didn't request it. And of course, we've seen based on broader survey data that has apparently been a pretty systemic problem in this election as well, of thousands or tens of thousands of voters receiving mail-in ballots that they actually did not request.
Yeah, That's it. And then I think another one is a person that we've talked to several people like this, and I think other people have done data surveys, Matt Brainerd and others. People showed up at the polls expecting to vote because they were told they couldn't because a ballot had already been cast in their name. That's right. Another dynamic that we've seen. And, you know, I've covered a lot of elections. I think my first election was 1984. I've never heard of, you know, large numbers of people making these claims like we heard in this election. So, you know, anecdotally, statistically, witness-wise, I think I've read over 250 affidavits from the various cases. I know you've read a lot of them as well.
Oh, sure.
It appears that there's a large number of people coming forward in ways and, as you said, consistent ways.
Right. And if this was a pretty common feature of the American political landscape, we would have heard about it by now.
That's right.
This is an odd thing to have happened continuously in multiple states that has been substantiated by sworn affidavits. And if this sort of thing were a regular feature of elections, you know, going back years, it's something that those of us who are pretty keyed into this world would have heard. So this does feel like a uniquely 2020 election issue. And I think that is also why you are seeing this great urgency to resolve it, because it's something that people aren't just used to. It's something striking that's arisen very noticeably this year.
Yeah, no, really great point. And again, we're not in the job of trying to help President Trump win or lose or Joe Biden win or lose. We're in the job of trying to get to the bottom of the questions that American people have raised, and the questions seem to grow every day, you know, and I think the presiding question now is, okay, the president's team has made its case. Lynn Wood has made its case. We're going to hear from Sidney Powell tonight. She's going to make her case. And these lawsuits are going to wind through. And I think what the courts are going to ask now, right, is, all right, we got the constitutional arguments that some things were changed that maybe the legislature didn't approve. We understand you're claiming that voters were treated differently in different parts of a state, and therefore the equal protection clause of the Constitution may have been violated. Can you prove to me that enough votes are in question that a 20,000 vote lead in Wisconsin or 12,000 vote lead in Georgia or, you know, 80,000 vote lead in Michigan or Pennsylvania, right, one of them's 150, one of them's 80, right, that you can erase those leads? Anything you heard today suggests that there are enough votes in question in Pennsylvania to erase the lead that Joe Biden currently is listed with?
You know, I've heard going back that there is the potential of certainly over 100,000 votes that are, you know, not definitively one way or the other, but are questionable in Pennsylvania. And I didn't hear anything today at this hearing to challenge that. So I think that those votes are very much still in play. And, you know, whether or not that turns out to be just some easily explainable administrative issue, or if, you know, some of the votes are questionable and others are able to be resolved, obviously we don't have that information yet. But there definitely is this sense that it's coming to a head. I mean, you know, the GSA has indicated that the transition can begin. People seem to be making moves towards sort of getting things rolling here. And I think that what we're going to see over the next week or maybe a little longer is all the evidence that they have coming into light. So the ideal scenario is that we have some pretty concrete answers as to what happened, where the votes stand, where the ballots stand relatively soon.
It is going to be a pretty remarkable a few days. Anyone who thinks that we're heading into a holiday lull hasn't lived through the last 3 weeks with eyes wide open. It's going to be a pretty remarkable time. Daniel, we're so lucky that you're on the front lines for us here at Just the News, doing the sort of reporting we're doing. And we thank you for updating us as we head into our Big Turkey Day tomorrow. And
yes,
I'm sure we'll have you back on. In fact, I know we're going to have you on back on next week, because while I'm out of town, you're going to be the guest host of this podcast next week. Isn't that right?
That's very right. I your readers are going to be lucky to be subject to me for an entire week. So you can apologize to them afterwards.
I won't have to apologize at all. They're going to be well served by an outstanding journalist. You do great work for us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. I wasn't planning to do one on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, but news warranted, and so we have it out. What a day. We can sum it up pretty simply this way. Mike Flynn is pardoned. A Pennsylvania judge stopped certification of election results. And Rudy Giuliani, for the first time, got to make the president's election integrity case before a state legislature in Pennsylvania. That's a lot of news to head into the Thanksgiving dinner holiday weekend with you, but we brought it to you here live. We hope it's helpful. And I, from my family and all my great colleagues here at Just the News, at John Solomon Reports, we wish you a blessed and happy and bountiful Thanksgiving, whether you're staying home, traveling on the road, whatever you're doing. Please know that we're giving you our best. We thank you for your support, your readership, your listenership, your viewership on Real America's Voice. Every day you make us better by being part of the Just the News family. And I know this year when I break bread tomorrow with my beautiful wife, Judy, my son, Josh, my niece, Elizabeth, we will be sitting around thankful that so many of you engage in the news here at Just the News, want the facts, want us to just give you the facts and stay out of the way, not indoctrinate you, let you make up your own mind. We're grateful for that audience, grateful for that support. We're going to continue to work hard to earn your trust all through these next many years here at Just the News. But thank you for all you've done to get us on our maiden voyage of journalism at justthenews.com. All right, we'll take tomorrow off, and on Friday we'll be back with some members of the Trump team to talk about what has transpired in these historic days after the November 2020 election. I'm John Solomon, and you've been listening to John Solomon Reports.
Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.